prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. Truth Revolution, where faith and reason can coexist together. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Where faith and reason meet, that's what we're all about.
That's right.
We believe you can use your brain and your Bible at the same time. It is possible.
Yes, and you better actually use your brain and the Bible at the same time, because too many people don't.
But there's a problem.
There's always a problem, Jeff.
Christianity has been disproved.
It has.
And it was disproved last week on our show.
Mm, we talked about that.
So we continue to meet this morning for no reason.
Absolutely. Whatever.
We went to a website called Christianity Disproved, mm-hmm. and we've been going through their arguments. They made a few arguments last week that we covered.
Yeah.
We didn't get through it all. We're going to finish this week.
Just like we promised.
Just like we promised. I tell you what, we say we're going to deliver, and we deliver.
Right.
Yeah, we do. So, we also have a Bible contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
We don't believe the Bible contradicts itself.
We do not.
And so, we prove this every single week. If you think you found a Bible contradiction or something in the Bible that makes it look like, well, maybe the Bible isn't accurate in this particular instance, let us know.
Hit us up.
Questions at truthrevolution.tv. You can email or text.
Or you can call Jeff at 555.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. You can call me. You can call me at truthrevolution.tv. That's my phone number.
Right.
Truthrevolution.tv is our website. You can go there and you can submit a question there if you like, or a challenge, or an answer, or an encouraging note, or hate mail. We get some of both. We love it.
Yes.
So you can go there and, you know, whether you're listening to the show because you're a Christian or because you're not a Christian, we're glad that you're listening, and we're glad that you have questions and that you participate. Thank you, those of you who donate. Thank you, those of you who let us know that you listen. We appreciate it all. So we also have a listener question this week. We're going to try to get through a bunch of stuff.
Right. I'm looking at your notes here.
I know, it's way too long.
And I'm like, have we ever gotten through this much material before?
And the answer is no, we have not.
No.
Now, before we get into Christianity Disproved and showing that it hasn't been disproved, we want to talk a little bit about a film that's coming out. Called Evolution vs. God by Ray Comfort. This film's going to be released very, very soon. Right. Actually, it might have been released on the 7th. And this is, we were able to watch it before it was put on YouTube. And I got to say, the person who put this together, his name's Ray Comfort.
Mm-hmm.
We like Ray.
We do. And I think he's genuine in his belief.
Everything we can tell, we try not to judge people, but just based on his actions, he looks like a genuine follower of Jesus Christ,
right,
who really loves God, who is really trying to help people get saved. We honestly could use more people like him who are willing to put his faith out there,
right,
willing to ask some hard questions.
Yeah, because you go and talk to some of these people about atheism versus God, and it's like, sometimes, I mean, you're putting your life on the line in some cases.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, he's willing to talk to people to help them be saved, to help them know Jesus and go to heaven. So we appreciate him. We appreciate his ministry in general. That being said,
his approach could use a little polishing.
In this particular instance, we would like to take exception with the show Evolution vs. God. And on our show, we wouldn't particularly recommend watching this.
Right.
Now, of course, everybody's rushing to YouTube. Well, I got to see it now. but we wouldn't particularly recommend it for a few reasons. One of them is there was a biological evolutionist, or excuse me, a biological evolutionist, an evolutionary biologist. He was also bionic,
right,
a bionic evolutionist. His arm evolved into a tank. No, P.Z. Myers, who's an evolutionary biologist, was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the people who was interviewed. And he says, on one of his blogs, I've done a number of interviews for the media, and it's not surprising when an hour-long conversation is reduced to a few sentences. I expect that, and it's no surprise. What they don't do, unless they're ideological hacks and liars, is chop up the interview to completely misrepresent the point I just explained to them.
Right.
And he comes on to say that he explained certain pieces of evolution. Ray Comfort came back with a challenge, and he explained why the challenge didn't work. Then he says that in this film, it was cut in such a way that you never heard his answer and that it misrepresented what he was trying to say.
Right. And although, I mean, we believe that God exists, and we believe in intelligent design, but that doesn't mean that you have to that you can discount both sides of the argument just whimsically, because everybody has always something to add to the conversation.
Yes,
you know, because we're all seeking for truth. You know.
Well, I think I mean I don't know. Maybe everybody's motivation. I don't know if they're really seeking the truth or not, but hopefully all we're all seeking the truth.
Well,
I'm not going to, you know, discount his motives either. I do believe I'm a Christian. I do believe I do believe that people hate the light and they don't want to accept Jesus, that they reject that on purpose and they'll find reasons to reject it. However, I'm not just going to throw away everything these people have to say. Now, this being said, and again, we like Ray Comfort and most of what he does.
Right.
Just this particular film, we feel like he really misrepresented what the evolutionists are trying to say.
He did rile some feathers, and that's something, I mean, biblically, I don't think you should do that. I mean, I don't think you should really make people mad, you know what I mean?
I don't know, Dave. We make people mad.
but that's not our intent.
Not in the same way. Right. He was interviewing these people, trying to push them and push them, and that's not what we're trying to do. Now, it was, if you watch the film, you'll see it was very pieced together. He said some things that we would disagree with. He said, well, evolution happened over the course of millions of years. He said, for instance, 65 million years ago, you cannot observe that, and he was insinuating that something isn't scientific if you don't observe it firsthand from a first-person perspective. Well, we didn't observe Jesus rising from a first-person perspective either. And, you know, maybe he would say that's not scientific. It doesn't matter. But he is saying that you cannot accept evidence unless you see it firsthand. And I would reject that notion.
Right. And that's why we have witnesses.
Exactly. You know? And that's why we use things like DNA and puzzle pieces together. Now, we're not saying, hey, go accept evolution. That's not what we're saying. We're saying, we don't like the way this particular video was put together. Right. We don't like the methodology. We like Ray Comfort.
Definitely.
We just don't like the methodology on this particular video. Right. We think Christians can be represented much better when we engage in rational, conversational dialogue.
That's my biggest thing, is that kind of discussion hurts our platform.
Sure.
Because, you know, it's you know, nobody wants to talk to somebody that's going to be militant like that.
Right.
You know?
Now, and just before we end it, I do want to give a little disclaimer.
Okay.
We're accepting what PZ the atheist has said as fact.
Right. As far as him being cut out.
Right. We don't know. Maybe he just looked like a fool because he gave dumb answers.
And he's trying to cover it up.
He's trying to cover it up.
Okay.
That's possible. Maybe Ray Comfort didn't cut him out, but the way it was edited sure looked that way.
Right.
And
I agree.
Plus, we still didn't like some of the other methodology. So, all right. That being said, we're done with that. We're moving on. Don't watch the video, but go ahead and watch it because you're going to anyway.
Right.
All right. Just remember it when you watch it. All right. Christianity disproved.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about Jesus. And this website actually says he can prove Christianity is false, that he can prove that Jesus was not God.
Okay. This will be interesting.
Well, let's go ahead and read what he has to say
about
Jesus.
He says, Jesus was an apocalypticist.
Very good.
Wow. That's a big word.
Yeah.
From the first century, who expected the imminent and supernatural coming of the kingdom of God. So he ruled by the Son of Man. He made a falsifiable prediction in Mark 13, 24 through 27 and 30, which turned out to be wrong.
Okay.
All right.
So he says Jesus was a false prophet. And the prediction was this. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, what things?
Right. There are a lot of people trip over this one.
Christians do.
Yes. Because they
without being on drugs, they totally trip over this.
I'm not talking about that kind of trip. I'm talking about stumbling.
Yeah. Obviously, this guy thinks Jesus was referring to his bodily return.
Right.
Jesus coming back a second time. But Jesus wasn't referring to that in this passage.
No.
He was referring to the list of things he just gave. He says, hey, people are going to be persecuted in verse 9. He goes on. He says, the tribulation, false messiahs, false prophets, and some other apocalyptic sayings, like the sun will be darkened, and this sort of thing describes the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, which did happen, and it did happen within that generation.
Right.
So not only did this guy not disprove Jesus, he pointed out Jesus' true prophecy.
Amen.
So this isn't Christianity disproved. This is Christianity proven.
Right.
Jesus,
super proved.
Yeah, Jesus was a true prophet. He predicted things that were going to happen. And Jerusalem did fall. The temple was destroyed. As the Bible says, the sun was darkened in apocalyptic language. So he pointed out true prophecy. That's great. Thank you. We appreciate it. Now, he also says that Jesus was not God. And he quotes a lecture by Ingersoll from 1894. Just give this one a listen. It's pretty interesting. If Christ was in fact God, he knew all the future. Before him, like a panorama, moved the history yet to be. He knew how his words would be interpreted. He knew what crimes, what horrors, what infamies would be committed in his name. He knew that the hungry flames of persecution would climb around the limbs of countless martyrs. He knew that thousands and thousands of brave men and women would languish in dungeons of darkness filled with pain. He knew that hypocrisy would be robed and crowned. He knew that in his name, his followers would trade in human flesh. Yet he died with voiceless lips. Why did he fail to speak? Why did he why did he not tell his disciples and through them the world, you shall not burn, imprison, and torture in my name. You shall not persecute your fellow man. I will tell you why. He was a man and he did not know.
Wow.
Okay, so that's the same about Jesus. Like, all these horrible things were coming and Jesus didn't say us. Jesus didn't warn about it because he didn't know.
And you know, that's one of those arguments right there. You were reading that and it's like, I could really see how somebody could be like starting to be like, well, yeah. Wow.
Why didn't Jesus say something?
Why didn't he?
Well, here's the answer. He did. Listen to Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus talking. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Right.
See, this guy first says, oh, didn't Jesus know that people were going to do all these bad things in his name? Mm-hmm. Why didn't he tell them not to do that? Not to persecute your fellow man? Well, he just did right here. He says, love your neighbor, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you. I don't know how much more clear he could have made it. In chapter 7, he goes on and he actually knows, like this guy said, people are going to use his name to do awful things. He says, watch out for false prophets. Mm-hmm. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize him.
And there you go. That's the big clue right there.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. I mean, people will come and do things badly in his name.
Exactly. And he warned us ahead of time.
Right. Watch the fruit.
Matthew chapter 10. He says, I'm sending you out. Because now the question is, well, did the disciples think everything's going to be fine? Why didn't Jesus warn them? This is the other guy's. Mm-hmm. This is the guy's other question. Well, Jesus says, I'm sending you like sheep among wolves. Brother will betray brother to death and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. You see, Jesus wasn't silent. He spoke very clearly on these issues.
Totally.
And so it's completely unfair and illogical to say that Jesus didn't see this coming. No, he saw it coming, and he gave us absolute clear warnings.
Mm-hmm.
Another objection is taken from John 8, verse 3 to 11, where the woman is caught in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy says, the problem is, this story is not in the earlier versions of John. It wasn't even in any other part of the Gospels. It was added later. So he's talking about a portion of the Bible that might have been added later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is this true? Was this portion of the Bible added later? Is it not really, should it really not be in our Bibles?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of scared.
No, actually, totally true. Totally true. We're going to touch this on the other side of the break. He's got a point.
Okay.
We're going to come back to that on the other side of the break. He makes a good point.
All right.
But we're also going to talk about whether or not hell's real, because he talks about that. We're going to answer a listener question, and we're going to do the Bible contradiction. So we got plenty more on the other side of this break.
Right. Come on out to Revolution Church.
10:15 Sunday morning. And if you can't get to Slina, if you're more than an hour away, you can watch us online, live.slinarevolution.com, or just jump over to truthrevolution.tv and link from there.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning, just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, salinarevolution.com. www.salinarevolution.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
The Left Behind series represents an awesome picture of the end times, right?
That's what a lot of people say, but it's important to remember that those books are fiction. Christians, please don't base your eschatology,
your end time beliefs,
on the Left Behind series.
The Left Behind books are simply based on one interpretation of one interpretive framework for Revelation.
There are so many other ways to interpret the book.
Different views of Revelation include the idealist, preterist, partial preterist, historicist, futurist, and more.
It's great to passionately study the Bible, but let's not get hung up on one particular interpretation of a book, which can be so difficult to understand, like Revelation.
Debate, study, wrestle with the text, but never divide the body of Christ.
That's right. It's crazy to think that this one view is the only way. You know, here's a little factoid for you. Did you know that the Left Behind series takes a view on Revelation that no Christian did until the 19th century?
Interesting stuff. For now, remember to be charitable and enjoy Left Behind as fiction.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
And we're disproving Christianity.
No, we're not.
I mean, we're stopping the disproof of Christianity. We're showing why you cannot disprove Christianity.
Jeff.
There's a website, Christianity Disproved.
You are a pastor, right?
And yes.
I mean, your day job.
Yeah. I don't know, this microphone gets in front of me and something happens.
Yeah, don't quit your day job, pal.
Oh, man. It also happens when I get on stage, and you know that.
Yes, I do.
I get on stage at church, and I'm talking, and crazy things happen.
Yes.
You are invited to Revolution Church.
10:15 on Sunday.
Or you can watch online, live.salinarevolution.com, or you can just go to truthrevolution.tv, check out old shows, check out Truth Shots.
You know, and I was, honestly, getting back to Revolution Church, I was talking to some people just this past week that had just started coming recently.
Yeah.
And they were like, this is different than any other church I've been to. People here actually love you.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that other churches don't love. I'm just saying here we're family, and it's awesome. So.
I was able to pray with a lady, a young girl, maybe in her early 20s, just last week or the week before. And we prayed to accept Christ. She said, I need Jesus. I want him to forgive me for my sins. And she's not been in church before. All and right. She just said to me, I'm just glad that I can come wearing these clothes.
Right.
Because I'm accepted here for wearing this. I mean, people can't afford suits always. That's right. Okay. You come as you are right now because God's interested in your soul, not in your suit.
Right. Exactly.
And anyone who says otherwise can take it up with me because it ticks me off when people try to act like right. You have to wear a suit to come to church. You have to be all holy and righteous. And they make people feel rejected because that's not what Jesus would do.
Right. Jesus never did take somebody and turn them away and say, well, you're not what I want you to be right now. Jesus always took people and turned them into somebody that he wanted them to be.
Peter, that's right.
Peter
was a good example of that. I mean, Peter was just a flawed man.
He was, absolutely.
And Jesus molded him.
Just like us.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all about helping people know Jesus.
Right.
If you want to learn about Jesus, just come out to Revolution Church. We just want to help you learn about Jesus. Amen. It doesn't matter what you're like right now. It doesn't matter what you look like or smell like.
Right.
All right. Anyway, back to proving Christianity or disproving Christianity. This website, Disproving Christianity, says the woman caught in adultery, that story was not in the original Bible.
Right. But you said that
he makes a point.
That's true.
Well, I didn't say it was true.
Okay.
I said he makes a good point.
Okay.
This passage isn't in the oldest manuscripts we have.
Okay.
So you have to go out for quite a while, a few centuries, before you start seeing this story appear in manuscripts. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of problematic. There was no Greek writer who commented on this particular piece of scripture for hundreds of years, which would make you think, why didn't anyone comment about this?
It looks bad for this particular passage.
Right. The story is just kind of out of place in the book of John. Like, if you were to take that story out, it would seem to flow a little better. And it's been found in different places. It's been found earlier, later. So where is this supposed to go? We don't really know. So there are a lot of Bible scholars who believe this story is authentic. It doesn't contain any errors as far as theology goes.
Right.
It fits in with the character of Jesus.
Definitely.
And there's no certainty that this wasn't in the original text. You know, what can happen a lot of times, they had scrolls. And the ends of scrolls would get tattered first. And it's very possible, I believe this happened with the book of Mark, actually. Mm-hmm. It's very possible that a story like this was near the end and it got torn and they didn't know where to reinsert the story.
Right.
But anyway, this website's point is Christianity disproved. Whether or not this story belongs in the Bible does not disprove Christianity.
Right.
Or the Bible. I mean, if you go to your Bibles, it will actually say in brackets, this story is not in the earliest Greek manuscripts.
Right. It's not like we're trying to hide that.
Right. We know this. We're very careful how we treat this section of scripture. And so we're not just saying this, and it doesn't contain any truth that isn't available anywhere else in the Bible.
Right. It'd be one thing if it said something totally different about, you know, the way to heaven.
Yeah, everybody must stand on one leg for 5 minutes every single day.
Like, wait a minute.
Well, this one section of scripture says it. Okay. No, but it's not like that.
Right.
I mean, it's in line with the character of Jesus.
Very consistent.
Fits with the rest of the Bible. So it doesn't even matter. So, all right. Now, most of the other problems, I said it doesn't even matter. I shouldn't say that. It doesn't matter for the truth of Christianity.
Right. It doesn't have a bearing on the truth of Christianity.
Right. So he can't use this to disprove Christianity.
Right.
It's just a big question. Was it supposed to be in there? Was it added later, or is it just in the wrong place?
It's a mystery.
So, yeah. All right. On to hell. He says hell doesn't actually exist. He says the Christian hell evolved in three significant phases, starting with Sheol.
Wow. So he knows how hell was built. Right.
First of all, again, he makes a logical jump. Let's say that the concept of hell did evolve. Does that mean it's not true?
Right. Because our ideas of the world around us and our universe, they evolve over time.
Exactly.
You build precept on precept. The whole Bible works that way.
Take the same argument from a different topic, and you'll see how ridiculous it is.
Mm-hmm.
I love popcorn.
Oh,
and my popcorn recipe has evolved over the years. Does that mean that I don't have popcorn? No, that's ridiculous. The fact that an idea is slowly evolved, or better yet, progressively revealed, doesn't mean that it isn't true.
Right.
And so for him to say, well, this idea went through processes where first they taught this, and then they added this, and then they added this, it doesn't mean it's not true.
Right. That's all about revelation.
Plus, he misunderstands progressive revelation, how the Bible reveals things over time, and it doesn't contradict with earlier views. He quotes Job 7, "So those who go down to Sheol do not come up." Then he quotes Ecclesiastes 9. This is an evil in all that happens under the sun, that the same fate comes to everyone. And he's saying this is a contradiction.
Right.
The same fate comes to everybody. But some people go to Sheol. Well, no. Ecclesiastes wasn't talking about heaven or hell. Ecclesiastes was talking about death.
Right.
Everyone's going to die. And some of you will go to Sheol or to hell. But second, he has a misunderstanding of Sheol as well. You need to check out our show, The Moment You Die, in July. I'm not going to go into this. Sheol is not merely hell. It's something else.
Right. We talked about this at length in that one episode.
Yes, we talked about it for quite a while. So mm-hmm. you need to listen to our show. Look it up. The Moment You Die on truthrevolution.tv. His other objection is this. He says, to punish sins finite in seriousness with an infinite punishment is to punish sins disproportionate to their seriousness. Mm. Okay. So he's saying, hey, God's going to punish someone in hell forever for a sin that only lasted 20 minutes.
Right. 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And he says, that's not fair. Well, again, this doesn't disprove Christianity. If God is real, God can punish however he feels like. Now, he could be saying, I don't like how God's punishing.
Right.
But he has to admit that God exists.
Well, you know, when I stole a cookie out of the cookie jar, my mom made me stand in the corner for 3 hours. I didn't like that.
That was disproportionate.
Yeah.
But it was her prerogative.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that God's doing something disproportionate because I think he underestimates what sin really is.
Right.
It's not merely one little sin that's the issue, but the fact that we sin because we hate God.
Right. And it's also, he says the sin is finite, but you know, you're looking at that sin through finite eyes is what you're doing. You don't know how infinite that sin actually is.
That is right. We love darkness and hate light until we come to accept Jesus.
Amen.
God would never drag someone into heaven who didn't want to be there.
No. Why would you?
And so it's not so much that there was one little mistake you made as it is the preponderance of your life is one that rejects God right. and accepts darkness.
Right. I would love you to come to my house. It's fun there and all that stuff. But you know what? If you don't want to go there, I'm not going to drag you kicking and screaming.
That's right. Hey, before the show's over, let's get to the Bible contradiction.
Oh, let's do it.
Bible contradiction.
I'm going to blame that all on you, Jeff.
Yes.
We just about blew right by it.
Woo!
All right. Check it out. Today's Bible contradiction comes from infidels.org.
Those crazy infidels.
They want to know, what did they give Jesus to drink when he hung on the cross? Matthew 27:34 says it was vinegar. Mark 15:23 says wine with myrrh. What is it?
Well, first of all, they need to read the Bible.
What do you say?
That's not even what it says.
It's not?
No. They say Matthew 27 says vinegar. In our translation, the NIV, Matthew 27 says they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall.
Oh.
Now, there is in a translation like the King James, it does say vinegar, but vinegar, when that was translated, it's just another word for sour wine.
Okay.
And so it's not saying he drank vinegar. No, he drank wine. It's the same thing.
Vinegar could be translated as
sour wine.
Wine mixed with gall.
Right. And that's what Matthew says, was wine mixed with gall. And then Mark 15, I'm going to offer them a second Bible contradiction they didn't even catch.
Great.
It says they offered him wine mixed with myrrh. Well, was it gall or myrrh?
Right.
Well, myrrh simply means to embitter. It's something that makes a drink bitter. And gall is an analogy to poison in that culture. It means you make it bitter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the point wasn't what ingredient did they point in. The point was they gave him something sour and bitter right. and nasty to drink.
There you go.
And so, you know, the point here, this isn't a Bible contradiction. This is simply a misunderstanding. They need to actually look up the verses before they say it's a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. We'll have another Bible contradiction next week.
Okay. So, listener question, really quick before we're out of time.
All right, from Levi. Do we have a specific reason for the book of Enoch not being canonical?
Okay.
Other than it being really, really weird.
You know, we did some shows on why books are included in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and listen to those. If it's accepted by the people of God, when it was written, if it's confirmed by a prophet that was written by a prophet of God, if it has the power of God in it, it can be a book of scripture, but it doesn't actually fit any of these things. We don't know who wrote it. It wasn't from the time of Enoch. It was written around like 160 BC. We don't know the author. Right. It wasn't written by a prophet, probably. The Christian church, the Jewish culture, never seemed to treat it as scripture except for a few fringe groups.
We don't choose scripture. We discover scripture.
That's right. And this one certainly didn't fit the bill. So, all right. TruthRevolution.tv. You can find out more information about what scriptures make it in the Bible and why.
Right.
You can donate. You can find out where Revolution Church is. You can listen to past shows.
Truth Shots.
Truth Shots, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 60 Seconds of Truth. So head on over to truthrevolution.tv. I am so glad you listened today. Come back next Sunday. come over to truthrevolution.tv and check it out some more.
Love you. See you next week.